If you have your Bibles, please turn in them with me to Matthew chapter 6. I'll be reading verses 9 through 13. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Please stand and we'll read God's Word. Pray then in this way: Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. Father in heaven, thank you for your grace. Thank you for the time that we've had this morning in preparation of our hearts to come before you. Thank you for the reminder that we have had of the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ, of a demonstration of your great love that you had for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so, Lord, we come before you this morning in confidence, not because of anything we have done, but because of who Jesus Christ is and what he has accomplished for us in his life, death, and resurrection. And we ask that you would open our hearts and our minds to your word, and that you would help us to obey and to be effective in our prayers, be effective in our evangelism, and that we would do that which is pleasing to you, and that you would receive our worship at this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I was going to move on to another passage of Scripture on prayer, and I might do that just a little bit today. But one of the things that I wanted to do was to kind of tie this passage together for us in a practical way that would help us to be better at praying. One of the things that that also came about is there was a hymn that Kathy found in the hymnal that focused on the Lord's Supper. So we're going to close our service with that song. But she also found in the Sunday school curriculum just a sheet that exhorts us to evaluate our priorities and our values as we pray the Lord's Prayer. Let me read that for you, and then I'll continue with a few comments before I look at the passage. The title of this is "I Cannot Pray." It says, "I cannot say Our Father or Our if my religion has no room for others and their needs. I cannot say Father if I do not demonstrate this relationship in my daily life. I cannot say Who art in heaven if all my interests and pursuits are in earthly things. I cannot say Hallowed be thy name if I, who am called by his name, am not holy. I cannot say Thy kingdom come if I am unwilling to give up my own sovereignty and accept the righteous reign of God. I cannot say Thy will be done if I am unwilling or resentful of having it in my life. I cannot say on earth as it is in heaven unless I am truly ready to give myself to his service here and now. I cannot say give us this day our daily bread without expending honest effort for it or by ignoring the genuine needs of my fellow man. I cannot say forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us if I continue to harbor a grudge against anyone. I cannot say, lead us not into temptation if I deliberately choose to remain in a situation where I'm likely to be tempted. I cannot say, deliver us from evil if I am not prepared to fight in the spiritual realm with the weapon of prayer. I cannot say, thine is the kingdom if I do not give the king the disciplined obedience of a loyal subject. I cannot say, thine is the power if I fear what my neighbors and friends may say or do. I cannot say, thine is the glory if I am seeking my own glory first. I cannot say, forever if I am too anxious about each day's affairs. I cannot say, amen, unless I honestly say, cost what it may, this is my prayer." I thought that it was good, just another way to think about the implications of the Lord's Prayer. Because I think so many of us, if you're like me in the background that I come from, we prayed this prayer almost every Sunday out loud. We would say it together as a congregation. But I never really thought about the implications of what I was praying or what the prayer was meant to teach us. And so I thought that was a good way to look at it, especially as I think and evaluate my own life as we go through this passage. One of the things, though, I'm convinced of as well is we can look at every passage in the Bible about prayer, and we can dissect it, and we can learn it and understand it, and we can memorize it, and yet we can still be prayerless. And so one of the things that I wanted to do is to kind of come back at this passage. We've looked through it. We've looked at the context. We've looked at what it's saying. We've broken it up into a number of verses here as we've looked it over. How is this now going to help me to pray? We can look at other passages of Scripture as well. I mean, you know, there's pray without ceasing, and we want to be able to do that. And there are I think, good practical ways that we can do that. But one of the things that I wanted to do here as we look at this is I don't want our intentions just to be good to pray. Because oftentimes that's what it is, isn't it? We hear a message on prayer, we look at prayer, and we can intend to pray. And yet we don't. We get distracted. Our values and priorities get messed up. And so we end up allowing those things to take place over the times that we need to pray and we need to come before the Lord. And you know, the devil doesn't care about our intentions unless we follow through with them. We can have all kinds of good intentions of what we should do, read the Bible and pray and those type of things. But if we don't do them, it really does us no good. We just get more and more knowledge in our minds. But what I want to do and what I want in my own life is to be more effective and faithful in prayer. Now, there are those times when we should be able to pray at any moment, at any time, walking down the street, going for walks, whatever it might be. Some of those things are helpful for us as we pray, as we go for a walk and just, you know, think to ourselves as we think, as the Lord brings thoughts to our minds, we begin to pray for people. We see somebody maybe and we begin to pray for them. That's effective and that's good. But I think that there are still important moments when we need to intentionally withdraw in a quiet place and spend time in prayer with the Lord. And that's what I want to help, hopefully help us to do as we look at this passage of Scripture before we move on to other passages. You know, and there are a number of tools that help us in prayer. There's the acronym, you've probably heard of it, ACTS, A-C-T-S. The A stands for adoration. The C stands for confession. The T stands for thanksgiving. And the S stands for supplication. And it can be a good tool for us as we pray to start out with adoration and to thank the Lord for who He is and what He's done for us and to confess our sins. And I most admittedly, I think for me, that's where I spend most of my time, it seems, as we come before the Lord. It's just like I spend all my time in confession for my sins. I'm saying, Lord, help me, you know, and even failure to pray. But then there's thanksgiving. We want to have a grateful attitude and a content spirit as we come before the Lord and give Him thanks for all He's provided for us. And then we lift up our requests before the Lord in supplications. And we see this in Philippians chapter 4, where Paul says, rejoice. And then he talks about be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication, make your request known to God with thanksgiving and make your request known to God. So we see this same exhortation to us is to be able to do these things. But again, we know that, but how do we pray? I've been reading a book by Donald Whitney. He was at Omaha Bible Church back in 2007 for their fall conference, and he went through some material about how we can use the Scriptures to help us to pray. And he's also since then published a book. It came out last year. It was called Praying the Bible. And I think it's a good tool for us to think about his instructions in there is how can we pray? Because if you're like me, and this book brings this out, is that sometimes we get ready to pray and we're there and we begin to pray and our minds wander. Pretty soon we're thinking about something that's totally unrelated to prayer at all, but we're thinking about what I need to do or whatever else. So what helps us to be able to focus on prayer and to do the thing that we've intended to do? Sometimes it can be that we pray the same old prayers over and over and over again, and we're just repeating ourselves over again, and there's really no expectation, and it can even be somewhat boring in our prayers. So how do we combat those things? And I'm not saying that it's always going to be easy, and that if you'll just do these three things, you'll have a wonderful, joy-filled, powerful prayer life. Because I think that part of the aspect is that there is a spiritual dimension of warfare that takes place when we bow the knee, when we pull away to prayer. And so it's going to take effort, and it's going to take discipline to be able to do that. But how can we be more effective in our praying? Well, one of the things that he brings out in his book is that we pray the Scriptures. And that's, I think, the intention of this passage of Scripture in the first place, is that we would use the Lord's Prayer not in praying it word for word. And there's nothing wrong with that, and it's a wonderful way to memorize the passage of Scripture, and I think that's important for us to memorize it. But then to break it down. And one of the suggestions that he gives is to, with each passage of Scripture, it doesn't have to be the Lord's Prayer, can be any passage of Scripture. He uses an example of praying through the Psalms, Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd," and then using that as a pattern to begin to pray. And I think we can do the same thing here. And let me just give you a few suggestions on how he does this. And hopefully it will help you in your prayer time. But also I think what it does is it helps us see, okay, I'm reading the Scripture now, and I pray and breaking up, but it helps bring it together for us. And so the first thing in doing this is, as I would look at this passage of Scripture, and he would say, take one line at a time, one verse at a time. Read the verse, and then stop. And then prayerfully meditate upon what you've just read. And then as God brings people to your remembrance, pray for them in line with that passage that you've just read. In other words, we would say, we maybe start off, "Our Father who's in heaven." That might be the very adoration thing that we look at. We begin to praise Him for who He is. "Our Father who is in heaven." And again, I think this is one of the greatest incentives of all for us to pray is recognizing God as our Father. And, you know, I want to be a good father. And I've blown it so many times. I've made so many mistakes and have not always been the best example. But we don't have to worry about that with God as our Father. He's perfect. And He always does what He said He's going to do. He always provides. He always knows what's the very best for us and has all of the resources in order to give us all the things that we need. And what I hope for in my relationship as a father to my children is that I hope that my relationship with them as a father gets better and better even as they get older. And I want that relationship to develop. And that's the same thing, I think, as we begin to think about God as our Father and to recognize what that means for us and the significance of that and His perfect fatherhood for our life, we should encourage us to come before Him and to lay our hearts out. So we started with that, "Our Father who is in heaven," acknowledging who He is, and we might even begin to pray for people that they would come to know God as their Father. So not only do we pray this prayer for ourselves, not only are we acknowledging God's sovereignty and His grace and mercy, but we, again, begin to use it to pray for other people. "Lord, I know that my loved ones don't know You as their Father. I know that they don't know what it means for You to demonstrate Your love and compassion in that intimate way. Lord, move in their hearts and minds." We still have relatives, Lot's side of the family especially, who are involved in Buddhism, who have no idea what it means in that intimate setting of what it means to have God as their Father. And so as we begin to pray for them, "Lord, let them know Let them know what it means to be their father and that intimate relationship. And then and then you pray however long. Maybe you never get past that, our Father who is in heaven. Maybe you spend the whole time that you have just recognizing how wonderful it is and how great God is as our Heavenly Father. And that's the focus of your prayer. And that's it. But if not, maybe sometimes you're going to come to a passage of Scripture and nothing's going to come to your mind. And then you just move on. So you move on to the next one. So our Father, hallowed be your name. And we looked at this, and again, the intention of this, and is let your name be recognized and acknowledged as holy. Let it be treasured and valued and sought after above all things. Let your name be seen as magnificent and who you are. Let your name be the center of men's worship. And again, what we say, if we look at ourselves, and I think of this too, Lord, let me not be the occasion for the enemies of God to blaspheme. Let me not be the occasion of bringing reproach upon your name. Let not my sins overtake me in a sense that will bring reproach upon your name, scoffing on the side of unbelievers and saying, he's just one of those other hypocrites. Lord, let me be a source where your name is hallowed, where your name is seen as glorious. And use me in the proclamation of your name. Lord, let me be those who know your name and bring others to trust in your name because you have not forsaken the righteous. And so we begin to pray for that and pray that God's name would be hallowed not only in my life, but that my children would live that same kind of life, that would be concerned about the glory and the reputation of God by how we live our lives. And pray for others to come to know God's name. We pray for God's kingdom to come. We pray for His kingly reign to be demonstrated in my life, to be manifested. And we saw that as it relates to that already not yet. We see that God, when we trust in Christ, we become part of His kingdom. And we want that reign, that kingly reign to be manifested in my life more and more as I submit myself to His authority and to His power and to His kingdom. But we also should have that longing by which we pray, Lord, your kingdom come. Lord, let your kingdom be manifested in power in my life more and more. But Lord, we long for the day. We long for the day when your kingdom will find its full expression and manifestation on earth in power and glory. And yet, Lord, isn't I've been praying that prayer, Lord, there are many of my loved ones, there are family, there are friends, there are neighbors, there are co-workers who do not know the joy of your kingdom, the value of your kingdom. And Lord, if your kingdom comes and they are still outside of a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, Lord, they are doomed to eternity in hell. So, Lord, even when I'm praying, your kingdom come, Lord, I'm praying first that it would come in power in people's lives through the preaching of the gospel, that people would submit themselves, that they would hear of the glory of your kingdom. They would see their sins and they would bow the knee and they would proclaim, you are King of kings and Lord of lords. So, Lord, we begin to pray like that. We begin to pray for our unsaved family and friends and neighbors. Lord, your kingdom come, yes. Lord, I long for the day when I don't have to worry. I don't have to fight sin anymore. I don't have to fail. I'm not going to fail in my fight against sin. I'm not going to have this guilt and this shame when I give in to my temptations. Lord, I long for that day. I long for the perfection of your kingdom to be manifest and to live in the glory of that kingdom. And yet, Lord, I know that that's in your timing. I know that that's in your time. I long for that. I hope for that. And yet, Lord, now I know that I don't even live consistently in that in my own life. Well, I need the power of your kingdom to come into my life now. I need the expression of the power of your kingly reign in my life as I live each and every day. Lord, manifest that power in my life. And Lord, I have friends, I have family who have addictions. They're struggling with the power of sin in their life. Lord, let your kingdom come and break the power of the God of this age, of the prince and the power of the air, the ruler of darkness. Lord, break that power in their life. Open their eyes that they might see their sin and see their need for you. Lord, let your kingdom come. And then you pray for whoever comes to your mind. Continue to pray for his kingdom to come. And as it relates to my life, as it relates to others. And Lord, then we pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Again, I think this is very closely associated with your kingdom, but it's your will. God's, your will is a perfect will. Let your will be done in my life. Let me submit myself to that will. Lord, I know what your word says. I know what your will is in so many areas of my life, and yet sometimes, Lord, I do not submit myself in obedience to your will. I do what I want, what I will. And so many times I live for the glory of my kingdom and my efforts and my priorities. So Lord, come into my life. Let me know the power of your kingdom. Let me know the power of your will. Let me demonstrate that in how I live my life and submit myself to your will, that it might be done in my life as it is in heaven, as the angels themselves fully and completely submit to your will. Let that be me. Let that be me. And Lord, again, I have family and friends and loved ones who are living in a way that are rebelling against your will. Lord, they're fighting your will. They know what's right. They know what they need to do. They've been taught. I have loved ones who've heard the gospel over and over again and who are living in a way that's inconsistent with that. Lord, let your will be done in their life. Move in their hearts and minds that they would come and submit themselves to that. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Begin to look and say, Lord, thank you so much for all of the needs that you have provided in my life. Lord, you have given me so much. But Lord, forgive me for thinking that you have given me all of these things solely for my own enjoyment. Lord, let me use the things that you provide for me, my daily bread, my daily needs that you provide, the great financial resources that you have given to us. And Lord, let me look out and say, how might I provide for others? How might I use the resources that you have given to me in providing for other people in a way that you would get the glory and honor and that they would turn their hearts to you? And this can give, let your heart be filled with gratitude and thanksgiving, whether it is for the gifts that God has given you, the abilities that God has given you, the opportunities that he has given you to make wealth. It's not us that we should take the credit for it, but it's giving God the glory for that. And again, we might know somebody. Lord, I know so-and-so. They don't know how they're going to pay their bills. And pray for them. I don't know, somebody might be dealing with other things. Just begin to pray as the Lord brings people to your mind for our praying for our daily bread. Pray for them in that room. Let that be the thing that focuses your attention. But again, if when you're done, then move on to the next. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Again, praying, Lord, I know that you have forgiven me for so much. I know that my sins are absolutely deplorable in your sight. And yet, Lord, through Jesus Christ, you have forgiven me. He has taken your wrath upon himself for my sins in such a way that he has satisfied your demand for justice because of my sins and because of my rebellion against you. He paid it all that I might know the joy of your great salvation. Lord, help me to forgive others as you have forgiven me. Help me to have that same grace and mercy that I know because of who Jesus Christ is and because of your love for me. Help me to have that same attitude of grace and mercy to be willing to forgive other people for their sins against me. Lord, give me your grace. It's not easy when someone sins against me. I want them to pay. I want justice oftentimes when people violate my desires and violate me by doing things against me. And yet, Lord, I'm so thankful that that was not your attitude, that you have grace and mercy because Christ has paid the penalty. Lord, let me forgive other people to that same way. Lord, even pray for my kids. I pray for my family, Lord, that they might know the forgiveness of your sins, the debts that they have against you, and that they also, in turn, will be able to forgive others as you have forgiven them. And then, again, as Lord leads people into your mind, you pray for them. Pray that prayer. Forgive them. Forgive us our debts. The last is, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Again, we begin to pray, Lord, I know my heart is so prone to wander. I love that song. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Without your grace, I would rebel against you. I would go back to my natural state of rebellion and sinfulness against you. And Lord, there are so many temptations that sometimes it seems like we're so bombarded with the temptations that come into our life. And Lord, I pray that you would help me. Help me to overcome those temptations that so easily entangle me, that so easily trip me up in my moments of weakness. Lord, help me. Help me to overcome that temptation. Deliver us from evil. Deliver me from evil. Lord, again, I pray that you would deliver me from the evil that exists within my own heart and the depravity of my heart. I pray that you would deliver me from the evil without as it comes, again, in the forms of temptation with the intent of tripping me up and to causing me to stumble and turn away from you. And Lord, I pray for my children in the times of their temptations that you would deliver them from evil. I pray for my neighbors that they would be delivered. I pray for those who, again, are struggling with different sins that have so easily entangled them and to which they've become addicted. And I pray that you will deliver them from their temptations and their sins. Begin to pray for people as they come to your mind. And then, again, finally, a good way to end it is the what we looked at last week. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, Lord. It's your kingdom. It's your kingdom now. It will be your kingdom when it comes in full expression. It is your power and your glory, Lord, that we long for. It is your power that I need in my life each and every day in order to do all that is before me so that you get the glory. And serving you and fighting against sin and ministering to people, whatever it might be, Lord, we need your power. And may it all be for your glory because you alone are worthy of all glory and honor and praise. There's one of the Psalms, I can't think of which one it is now, it says, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory. And that's ultimately how we should end our prayers and focus on what God desires us to do. But again, I just wanted to draw this all together. And it's so simple. Whitney puts it so much better in his book. But that's just an example of a way that we take a passage of Scripture like this and we pray. And hopefully we pray in a way that helps keeps us focused, that helps, you know, pray for people as they're come to our mind as we begin to, at that moment, begin to lift them up before the Lord. Whether you're praying Paul's prayers as we find them in the Scriptures, whether you're praying the Psalms, whatever it might be, pray through the Scriptures. And just be aware of who you're thinking about as you're praying for. Pray, pause, and wait. And then pray for those individuals. Pray for those things that you need to pray for and lift them up before the Lord and to use that as a pattern. And I think it's very helpful to be able to keep us to be focused, to keep our mind from wandering. And it helps us also to pray biblically, to pray according to the will of God. It's one of the things that we see in 1 John chapter 5 as we hear John's exhortation to us and the encouragement to us as we pray. He says, this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. And so again, the confidence that we have when we pray through the Scriptures, praying for people and circumstances in the scripture, through the scriptures, we can have that confidence that we're praying according to the will of God and for him to direct us. So I just wanted to, before just walking away from this passage, I wanted to come back to it one more time and just kind of hopefully draw it all together for us and encourage us to be praying and try it this week. And if you've never heard this way before, try to do that this week. No matter where you're at in the scriptures, look at that passage and think, okay, Lord, who do you want me to pray for? How can I pray this passage in relation to the needs that I have, the pressing issues of my life, the people that I'm concerned for and burdened for? How do I do that? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace. Lord, I pray that you will help us, Lord, that you will transform our prayer lives, that you will invigorate our prayer lives, our desire to come before you, not in a way that is just good intentions, but Lord, that we will see the time and the effort and the focus of our prayers be it used by you to accomplish your purposes in our lives and in the lives of others. As we lift up the church, as we lift up our unsaved family and friends and loved ones, Lord, we pray that you will hear our prayers and that you will make us a praying church, that you will make us an evangelizing church. And Lord, you will use us in this town to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ clearly and boldly for your glory and honor. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.